Good. Once you have the socks, it's a little chilly in here. All right, as we've been looking at the case for recent creation and its connection with the whole evolution-creation debate, we recall that evolution fundamentally needs time, and lots of it, to be remotely plausible. The reality is that it still doesn't make it possible, but at least it seems more plausible if you add lots of zeros to the number. Creation, though, as recorded by the Bible, does not require lots of time. God took 6 days of evening and morning to create it all by his word of command. That doesn't take that long. It's a demonstration of God's infinite power. And the scripture writers continually come back and point to the creation as evidence of his power. And the genealogy in Genesis 5 reveals, and we added it up, there are 1,656 years from the creation of Adam to Noah's flood. And the way the genealogy is written, there's no space in between. So you've got 6 days plus 1,656 years. So it's interesting that Bible-believing Christians before Darwin did not believe in an old earth. This is basically a phenomenon, having to wrestle with this, and there have been sincere believers, Bible expositors, that try to make room for an old earth because they think that they've somehow got to make the scriptures fit the so-called science. But this is not a phenomenon that you find prior to Darwin. With Darwin's theory and with the popularity of evolution, it's become more pressure on Bible believers to try to make it all fit. Darwin published Origin of the Species in 1859, and you have the process from there. As believers try to make room for long time, quote unquote, science demands. So evolution demands an old earth. But here's another question we want to ask. Does science demand it? Evolution demands it because evolution won't work. At least it's not remotely plausible without a long time, but does science actually demand it? We've already looked at some alleged proofs of an old earth. We talked about fossils. We talked about the rock layers. And as we've seen just now in these videos, the worldwide flood during the time of Noah well accounts for the fossil record and for the rock layers. And this also matches the theology that we have taught in the scriptures. Fossils are dead things, and there was no death at all until after the sin of Adam and Eve. It was part of the curse. Romans 5:12, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And if we think this isn't really important, and there are those that claim to be Christians that say that it's not, that death occurred for a long time, there was a long process. The problem is that the gospel promises us that Christ's sacrifice for us, his death and resurrection, and freeing us from our sin, also frees us from death. If sin is not the cause of death, then how does Christ dealing with sin free us from our death? Death, while it's, we commonly have to deal with it, we don't like to think about it, we commonly have to deal with it, it's just common experience. Death, according to the scriptures, is a judicial consequence of man's sin. God was the one that pronounced the death sentence because of our sin. And therefore, to be absolved of our sin is to be freed from death. And so this really is a gospel issue. How did death get here in the first place? And how are we freed from that death? 2 Peter 3, which the videos repeatedly referred to, tells us this in 2 Peter 3, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And by the way, that is the key to all of this. If you listen to the atheists and you listen to the evolutionists, the main thing they're trying to preserve is freedom from the rule of God. And the desire, actually, what Satan presented to Adam and Eve, to know good and evil. In other words, to decide what's right and wrong for themselves without God telling them so. But they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. You can count on it that those that are believers in evolution and don't believe in God are not by any means expecting God to call us to account. In fact, they would laugh at the whole notion of sin and of there being some kind of wrath on our sin and our being answerable to God. And Peter addresses this. All of this really holds together. You'll notice that if things are all continuing as they were from the beginning, they're expressing the doctrine of uniformitarianism, that things are just the same, that there are no catastrophes. Now, you know, if you're paying attention, even in our lifetime, you know that catastrophes are part of life. You know that there are small judgments all along the way that rapidly change our lives, rapidly change the face of the earth. And that these are but samplings of the larger catastrophes that happened in the past and the larger catastrophe yet to come. 2 Peter 3, verse 5 and following, for they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Remember, God separated the waters. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. In other words, what the scriptures do is tie together the catastrophe of the flood and the catastrophe of the final judgment. And they're both in the same category. They're both pronounced by God, and they will happen according to the power of God. So we saw the fossils and the rock layers. The flood really quite easily explains these, in fact, better explains them than what the evolutionist explanations are. And then a third area was the age of rocks with radiometric dating. But what we learned was radiometric dating requires three things. You first off have to know what the original composition was. If you're going to measure change, you have to know what the original state was. Secondly, there has to be a constant rate of decay. In other words, there can't be some catastrophe that makes the rate of decay go faster. And then third, it has to be a closed system. There can't be any contaminants that come in, or else the measurements are off. Without all three of these in play, the method is completely untrustworthy. In fact, it's been proven to be wrong. Young rocks formed through volcanic activity that we know are only 50 years to 200 years old have been dated using this method to be 1 million to 4 billion years old. This sounds like a Dominion voting machine. Sorry, I couldn't resist. What about then starlight? That's one of the big supposed proofs of age of the earth. And the idea is this. Given the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, at least for a round trip, distant stars are billions of light years away. And so the argument goes they must have existed from long ago, or we wouldn't be able to see them at all at this time. So how do we answer that? And there are really some pretty sophisticated answers, but I think the simplest answer just comes from the Word of God itself. In Genesis 1, 3 through 5, first we learn that the creation of light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So first understand that light exists not because the sun exists. Light exists not because the stars exist. Light existed because God spoke it into existence. It is power. And that light was there, and God divided the light from the darkness even before there are light bearers. And I think it's important to our understanding. We come down to verse 14, day 4 of creation. And we read these words. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. So look at the information that God himself is giving to us about this particular topic. Light existed from day one. The stars were visible on the earth from the day they were created, day four. Else they could not have functioned to mark signs, seasons, days, and years, and they could not have provided light on the earth. I mean, the text itself tells you what happened. It's just like when God created Adam, he didn't create him as an infant. He was a grown man. When God created the trees, he created them already with the fruit. So the normal things that take time didn't take time because God created them intact, already functioning. When God created the stars, he created them so that they would shine on the earth. And it was so, from the moment he created them on, there wasn't this time that was needed for the light to come from the stars to the earth. Another supposed proof is carbon-14 dating, proving the age of fossils and dinosaurs. The problem is with carbon-14 dating, I said fossils and dinosaurs. I meant to say fossils and diamonds. So forget the dinosaurs. It's fossils and diamonds. It decays out in a few thousand years, carbon-14 does. In other words, they're measuring the amount of decay. The reality is if there's any carbon-14 in there at all, then you've got something that's only thousands of years old, not millions of years, not billions of years. It's impossible for them to be that old. They cannot measure those longer periods of time. Some point to ice buildup on the poles of the earth and some of the great glaciers. And yet we know that ice buildup doesn't happen uniformly. There are World War II planes that were abandoned in Greenland in 1942 that by the late 1980s were buried under 260 feet of ice. It happened very rapidly. It just goes to show that these processes aren't all happening gradually as the theory is advanced in order to get long age. What about some scientific examples that actually point to a young Earth? Well, helium and radioactive rocks. Helium should decay out of rocks in less than 100,000 years. But there's still lots of it in radioactive rocks. It shouldn't be there at all if those rocks are millions and billions of years old. There's bacteria in salt crystals whose DNA is still intact. It shouldn't be there if the earth is very old, if those salt crystals are very old. Dinosaur fossils that still have soft tissue and blood cells intact. The soft tissue shouldn't be there. The blood cells shouldn't be there if they were millions of years old. That's science. Ocean sediments should be many miles deep. And they're not. Same with the dust that is settled on the moon. When we first landed on the moon, we didn't know what we were going to step into. And it turned out that that dust that had built up was not very thick at all. Rock layers, thousands of feet thick, are bent and folded without fracturing. You saw some pictures of that in the video. That doesn't happen over a long time. If the layers went down and hardened, and then you bent them, there would have to be fracturing. So clearly they were bent while they were still soft, and clearly it happened rapidly. It had to happen rapidly rather than gradually. The temperature of the sun's core is said to be increasing. If the sun were billions of years old, it would have been too cold to warm the earth, or it'd be too hot now for the earth to survive. Earth's magnetic fields are decaying. In other words, that magnetic force is reducing. If you go back too many years, the gravitational pull is too much. If you go the other direction, then it's not enough. Comets are losing size. They should be gone altogether. But they're still there. If the universe were billions of years old, we shouldn't be seeing these comets still showing up. So this is just a sampling. Obviously, this is not a full scientific explanation. But the point I'm trying to make is that biblical creation does not require an old earth. And science does not require an old earth. Only evolution does. So at the risk of using a phrase that's overused, follow the science, right? Follow the science. Science is not infallible. We've learned that. By definition, it's not infallible because we continue to discover. It's based on observation. But I think it's really important for us not to get gaslighted by the evolutionists who pretend like you're crazy to believe the creation account, and that you're somehow being unscientific in believing that the earth is, in fact, according to the scriptures, a young earth, that creation was actually quite recent, 6,000-7,000 years ago. Well, I trust that our time together will help strengthen our faith and give us some things to talk about. One of the things you want to, with those that don't know the Lord, one of the things you want to recognize is that people who have been taught the evolutionist viewpoint and the humanist viewpoint, it can be fairly shocking to them to meet somebody who doesn't believe in all that. And so you want to show grace to them and patience, but also be able to have a conversation where you can ask whether they've thought about some of these things and lead them, at least start to erode some of the foundation that's been built with falsehood. God help us to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And God, I pray that we will hold to it. Lord, we know you are a God who cannot lie. And I pray, Father, that we would hold on to our faith. And we thank you that you are the one who spoke the world into existence. You are the one that brings judgment to bear. And you are the one that promises us the new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. We long for our inheritance, and we thank you for it because of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.